This is Galesburg's Evening News on WGIL. I'm Will Stevenson. Thanks for joining me tonight. As you might know, earlier this week, a group of peaceful protesters made their voices heard in the wake of the death of George Floyd. They started at the Public Safety Building, made their way to the courthouse, and then to the Knox County Jail, where you might say Sheriff David Clegg is kind of welcoming them with open arms, or at the very least, understanding of their concerns, so much so that the sheriff put out a statement yesterday. So we'll talk about that and maybe some concerns about some other issues as well. But for the most part, Sheriff Clegg, welcome. Thanks for coming in tonight.
Thank you very much.
You put out a statement yesterday. I had intended on reading that and having you talk about it, but maybe I'll have you read it first, and then we'll go from there.
I would be delighted in reading it.
Okay.
I put this out last night, and the Knox County Sheriff's Department shares the concerns of the thoughtful/peaceful protesters on Tuesday, June 2nd, 2020. As a lifetime resident of Galesburg and a longtime law enforcement officer, I share your concerns. We all want a peaceful, healthy community and all the things that fit together to make a safe place to live, attend schools, work, and attend worship services. I'm here to listen to your concerns and to work with you on common goals. With me, call me. With your good ideas, call me with your solutions, and then I provided my cell phone number. I hope that we can set up a committee/coalition in the future to facilitate communication and to work on solutions that will make our county the best it can be. Until that can be accomplished, I am here, a proud member of this community.
How concerned, given that statement, have you been about maybe what you've been seeing around the country and maybe what you've been seeing locally in terms of people protesting, expressing their concerns about what happened and how it happened to George Floyd and things like that? What's been kind of going through your mind through all this?
Well, first and foremost, the initial incident, that was appalling.
Yeah.
And I think that every decent law enforcement officer in this country would agree with that statement.
I think there's a group of people, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I think that there are people that are continuing to support law enforcement in general, and perhaps rightfully so, because, you know, we always say there's, you know, a bad apple doesn't ruin the whole bunch, but I think that there were people, too, that, and I just don't understand, that there are people that are just anti-law enforcement altogether.
And you're right. Getting back to the bad apple, I would safely say that probably 1% of all law enforcement is that bad apple.
Yeah.
You know, we go through a relatively strenuous background check, interviews, polygraph, so on and so forth. But you still don't know how that person's going to react under pressure. And definitely there was pressure at the march.
Mm-hmm.
So to group all law enforcement into that category, I think is unfair and unjust for law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
Much like what I've indicated in this piece that I put out last night, we support a peaceful protest. And to the point where I've reached out last night, have a meeting set up this afternoon for the three people that were instrumental in organizing this.
Great.
Along with Mr. Anthony Law.
Mm-hmm.
To sit down and hear their concerns. Now, Rome wasn't built overnight.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I can safely say that in the past, there has been committees set up and not much has been accomplished. And I'm not saying that we're going to accomplish much either, but I am going in there open ears. And what I can do, whether it be to facilitate with a larger group, that's going to be up to these three individuals. And again, I'm going to stress to them that not only the Sheriff's Department, but the citizens of Knox County appreciate that peaceful march.
Absolutely. What though makes you think that maybe this time, this setting up of this meeting and maybe committees and groups and going forward here will be different than the other times that it's happened where you say that not much has been accomplished?
I think this time the incident in Minneapolis has generated revolt throughout the country.
But other incidences have, like this, have drawn revolt too, have they not?
They've gotten the revolt, but I don't think it affects small town USA that much.
Mm-hmm.
And I think now it is. I think that showing our support being the Knox County Sheriff's Department support, as long as it's a peaceful demonstration, that's perfect. And if we can sit down and help in any way, I'm more than glad to sit down and listen to them. And I first and foremost, I'm going to thank each one of them for the march the other night. I've heard good remarks about it, good remarks from citizens that are respectable in the community and pretty much support up until the point somebody starts looting, and then it's an entirely different situation.
That's something that's concerned me, only because over the weekend there were some, you know, some rumor. Well, earlier this week, I should say, there were some rumors that some of the groups that were doing some of the damage in Peoria might end up here. And, you know, social media is what it is, but I didn't really put a lot of stock into those. But true or not, that's got to be concerning at the very least somebody would suggest doing something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. And again, that goes back to what I just said, small communities.
Yeah.
I would think that maybe they're looking at the potential of, much like what you're saying, if they were aware of it by social media, they probably wrote it off saying, well, they're not going to come to this community.
Mm-hmm.
Quite the opposite. I know the city of Galesburg had many officers called back in that first night, second night. We did the same also. And then when we were found out about the protest of Tuesday, we took some action. I mean, getting guys called back and so on, not knowing what to expect.
Mm-hmm. And it turned out to be that it went better than you would have expected.
Yes. And my hat's off to them.
And it sounds like that there was a similar protest over this past weekend here, and there's one this weekend here. And it sounds like at least the first two have gone as well as you can hope, and so hopefully the third one will do the same.
Yes, I agree. I'm not sure the time this Saturday, 11 to 1 or 11.
I don't recall, but yeah, it sounds like that, maybe that or later in the afternoon. I'm not sure, but
I hope with a brief meeting today, they will have a sense that we support. We're not going to turn our backs on them in the event that there's outsiders coming in. You know, when I speak of outsiders, back in the day before community policing was even a phrase within law enforcement,
yeah,
Chief Frakes had community policing mm-hmm. in place. And the one thing that was a very common denominator on talking to the public was that this would be a great city, community, as long as the outsiders were not allowed to come in. And how true that is today.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Minneapolis is seeing that there are local residents participating.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we've
also seen reports, that the large number of the people that have caused trouble have been not from the area.
Correct.
Case in point, unfortunately, a Galesburg person facing federal charges for some of what he did in Minneapolis
yes.
and Chicago.
And you know, people probably wonder, is anything ever going to happen to these individuals? Are they going to be arrested? And I can assure you the FBI is working on it. Obviously by having one individual from Galesburg arrested
mm-hmm.
for his participation.
How much you've gone through FBI training, and I don't want to maybe get too deep into what the thinking is sort of here, but how much time is spent when you're training at the FBI Academy on things just like, you know, what we've seen in Minneapolis and Chicago and other areas?
What the FBI Academy is geared more towards is administration.
Uh-huh.
Of course, that also entails organizing, planning. You know, every event's different.
So, worst case scenarios?
Yes, yeah. Yes. And so with every event, with it being different, it's hard to set up a blueprint that this is what you're going to do. You know, manpower. What do you have as far as resources? Can you reach out to state police? Can you reach out to whomever, whatever other agencies?
What's the saying I heard once? Planning is everything, but the plan means nothing.
Very true.
Like that.
Very. And you know, you spend a lot of time planning and hoping, beyond hope that you don't need the plan.
Right.
And, you know, just much
We've seen with COVID-19 that we've had to use the plan.
Yes. Yes. And most people don't realize the amount of time that is spent with that virus.
Yeah.
No differently than a march.
Sure. What else has been going through your mind here the last week or two, I guess a couple of weeks now, since the situation with George Floyd? Has it kind of given you pause in terms of how you work with your deputies or how you discuss issues with your deputies, training, that sort of thing?
It definitely has given me pause. And to the point where last couple of nights, that when they start showing the clip of the actual incident with Floyd, I either turn it off, turn a different channel. It's disgusting.
Yeah, I don't blame you, yeah.
And, you know, early on, in my opinion, take away the uniforms, but it's the same incident, only four individuals.
Mm-hmm.
All four should have been arrested immediately. And I'm not criticizing Department of Justice, because they've undoubtedly made an iron-proof case against all four now since they've been arrested. But if we think about it, would that have stopped any looting, rioting? May have been just marches.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, I guess you don't really know until that. Again, you don't know until it happens, I suppose. But on the one hand, though, you know, I think, and rightfully so, that people look for a swift carriage of justice. But you've been a detective. Investigations can sometimes take a while, regardless of, you know, we have this video that seems pretty clear cut, though, right?
Well, and you're right. It, you know, make sure you dot all the I's and cross the T's for court. But I think with something of that magnitude that reached worldwide, that, in my opinion, within 24 hours, somebody, all four, should have been arrested.
Mm-hmm.
They would have had enough probable cause at that particular point to make an arrest, which then would allow a little bit more time to continue with the investigation.
Even the officer that supposedly told the officer with his knee on Mr. Floyd to get your knee off of there, and he said no, and then even that officer should be charged?
I think so, too. You know, even though he made a verbal command, any of us could have seen what was going on, and you would have taken the appropriate action to curb that incident. Effective arrest, you've got four individuals there. Put them in handcuffs and take them away, as opposed to what they did. You know, that one picture where the one with the knee in Floyd's neck, I don't know. It definitely made me pause.
I imagine, were some of your deputies concerned about that too? Had they expressed concern about what they saw?
Definitely. I've probably had more conversation in regards to what they saw and how they feel than I've had conversations with them in the past. So, you know, it's far-reaching. And you know, not being out on the road that much myself, but times have changed. But has law enforcement changed? You know, the action, you know, the responding of calls and so on and so forth, you know, for us right off the bat, we have looked for about 6 months at our general orders.
Mm-hmm.
And to redo them is a huge amount of time. So there's a company that represents the county, different counties in Illinois, that came in, sat down with us, reviewed them. They take them and redo them.
They go through like city and county code books and things like that. Yeah.
So there will be changes in them.
Okay.
And even after the sit down today and what comes up in the future, probably be more changes.
There are times, and maybe just to wrap up this part of it, there are times when sometimes I think maybe younger people are not always seeming to be as responsible as they could be. But this is, I think, just the opposite of that, that some young people that are really smart, they really understand the situation, they really understand what's at stake here, and sounds like that they truly want to affect change. Is that your perception?
Oh, I think so, 100%. My hat's off to them. And, you know, you can sit down with people my age or younger and hear what they have to say. But it's the younger ones that I think right now that probably have a lot to say and say it intelligently as well.
Yeah. But then there are too many people our ages and older that just want to discount them because they're youth, regardless of how much knowledge they may actually have.
Exactly. Exactly.
We're talking with Knox County Sheriff David Clegg. I'm going to pause here and we'll pick up this conversation in the next half hour of our program. I wanted to talk a little bit about how the office has been dealing with COVID-19 and specifically the Knox County Courthouse, which we've discussed a time or two on this program. We'll come back and talk about that later. We'll come back with business news next on Galesburg's Evening News. This is Galesburg's Evening News on WGIL. I'm Will Stevenson. Thanks for joining me tonight. Earlier in the program, we talked with Knox County Sheriff David Clegg about some of the issues he's seen in the wake of protests here and elsewhere following the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis. But wanted to talk to him about COVID-19 as well, since unfortunately I don't think we're ever going to escape that. But I appreciate you sticking around to talk about this,
Thank
Sheriff.
Thank you.
I think maybe you've talked about this either on our morning show or elsewhere before, but in terms of the operation of the department because of this virus, what has kind of changed? What's been different the last few months?
Well, the biggest change has been within the correction part of it itself. You know, most people, I think, believe that we house maybe 10 or 15 inmates. Well,
I've never thought that to be the case, Sheriff, to be honest with you.
We've been up to 143 inmates.
Wow, yeah.
And to think that we have a potentially highly contagious virus going around that would affect not only the inmates, but our correctional staff as
right.
well, concerned me.
Mm-hmm.
And we sat down, we being the captain and the jail administrator and myself, and we talked for 2 or 3 days on some of the ideas, and the jail administrator came up with this. That luckily our population was down some,
mm-hmm.
which then afforded us to empty a pod, I don't know, 20-some cells, and relocate them, mix them in with the other pods. But this one pod would be strictly for the coronavirus.
Okay.
So we had limited our intake, meaning that if Knoxville police had somebody arrested for misdemeanor theft, they would be highly recommending to give that person a notice to appear to keep he or she from coming into our jail.
Mm-hmm.
And that has worked quite well. So in the event that it was a felony warrant, a felony charge, a charge with violence involved, yes, we would take them. So the plan was and is still today, that person that we're booking in, you know, we have a list of things to ask as far as the coronavirus. We take their temperature, and they are immediately put in quarantine for 14 days.
Okay.
So we can feel safe that if we, once we integrate them into the other cells after the 14-day quarantine, it's going to be rare for that person to become infected.
Mm-hmm.
And that has, I think, helped immensely.
Have you had any problems with illness, COVID-19 or otherwise, in the last couple of months in the jail?
In the jail, we, no.
Okay.
Overall, well, I'll backtrack. We had two inmates. One that had symptoms that was our nurse felt was more related to the flu.
Mm-hmm.
And a second one wasn't quite sure of. So we did quarantine both of them. And after the 14 days, everything was gone. They were fine.
Okay.
Throughout the department, there's been a total of 10 employees that we've had to quarantine.
Okay.
Now, a couple of them have been correctional officers because they, not through inmates, but their spouse
sure.
have been infected, and so it just goes to show that that person has to be tested
in
quarantine
yeah.
as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we've been very lucky.
Yeah.
And very lucky in that after the quarantine time, they were symptom-free.
Mm-hmm. Moving inmates from the pod you cleared out to the other pods, does that present, I guess, security concerns, like in terms of, inmates acting up or causing violence or fights or things like that?
In normal times, we try to separate the ones that we feel are the problem child, sure, or someone that's in a rival gang or someone who is a witness to a crime that's been charged as well. And we try to do that. And it was no different than moving those individuals into the remaining pods. And we've had no issues.
Okay. That's good. I immediately thought, since every now and then you hear about, fights among inmates, even at jails or prisons, or that was the first thing that came to mind, but I'm glad it's kind of worked out about as well as you could have expected there. I imagine, too, you're probably also, like a lot of other places, increasing cleaning and sanitizing and things like that when you can.
As I've said before, that jail, well, the entire building, but specifically that jail, is cleaner today than it was the day it was open. Because any downtime that they have, they're cleaning.
I remember going through the jail when it first opened, and I thought that it was pretty slick at that point, but you're saying it's even better than that?
Yes, much cleaner.
And along those same lines, while not related, you've been, I know, working on, addressing the locking systems at the jail and things like that, too. Yes. And I imagine that all kind of moves together to your end goal, right?
Right. There's been obviously upkeep expenses when it comes to the jail.
Mm-hmm.
We moved into it, 2004?
Yeah.
So it's time. The locks, the doors, all of them needed replaced and or repaired. That's been accomplished. So I hate to say it, but it probably came in a fortunate time for us.
Oh, sure.
Where we were not concerned about the doors. We were not concerned about the cell doors, and everything is working properly.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing for sure. Let's move then to the courthouse. I know that's been a concern for a lot of people, and just in talking with the county clerk, I know that he's, changed things around a little bit, changed the way that he had people working in the office for a little while as things got closer to normal here. I guess now at the jail, things are a little, or at the courthouse, things are a little bit more as we might remember them. What's different there now than 3 months ago?
3 months ago, you very seldom saw anybody walking down the hallway.
Yeah.
whereas on a typical Monday or Tuesday, you might see 100 people on the first floor.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm.
And the administrative judge, Judge Shiplett, and I had sat down, and his concern was obviously bringing inmates from our facility to the courthouse. We have video. I mean, the very first appearance that the inmates have is on video.
On video, yeah.
So we still utilize that, utilizing that as well as now Zoom, and being able to communicate from the jail to the courtrooms. And now that's not saying that on a jury trial that they're going to have to be present for that. So what's been taken into action there is that typically the judge is going to say, let's send out 50 notices for jury trial. And typically they all show up Monday morning 8:30 a.m. and they're all housed in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a good situation. So
it wasn't a good situation before. No, certainly it not now.
No.
I'm thinking of radon, but that's just me.
Well, knock on wood, the radon's gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but you're right. What's been implemented now is that I think they take a panel of six. The circuit clerk pretty much instructs them outside that they provide them a number, an actual numeric number,
mm-hmm,
and correlates that with their sign-in and then a phone number. So they have the first six comes in, They're sat down in the jury room and interviewed, voir dired by the judges, or excuse me, the attorneys and the judge.
Mm-hmm.
Those six will be done and removed, at which time the circuit clerk makes a phone call to the next six. Okay. So that has eliminated a lot of unnecessary traffic.
Are they having to wear like, I guess, yeah. And I'm imagining too that I don't recall if I remember right, that jury trials aren't even at a point where they can start up again, are they?
Or they have officially been announced not only by Judge Shiplett, but the Chief Judge.
Judge Vancell, yeah.
That you can start having jury trials.
Okay.
And now to say that one is next week, no, there hasn't been any set yet. So.
Sure. Social distancing, though, and things like that, like I just mentioned with wearing masks and things like that, that's all kind of able to be figured out, I'm imagining?
Yes. Okay. And that's the reason for the only six as opposed to bringing 10 or 12 in.
Do you see because of all of this long-term changes in the operation of the courthouse? And I ask because I imagine there's probably been people who probably have come to you and said, well, we can't really operate anything at the courthouse the way we used to because of this.
Well, and you're right. You know, there were some offices that 50% of the employees would go home today, stay at home, leaving the other 50 to work, 50%.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that worked out quite well. I think that the absence of people just coming in with no goal in mind, that they aren't paying taxes, they're not paying child support, they're not waiting for an attorney,
mm-hmm.
those days may have come and gone.
Even though that, by and large, we could argue the courthouse is owned
place.
By the public and it's a public facility?
Yes. And that's something is not in concrete, but that's something being looked at.
Hmm. Yeah, I imagine you kind of have to look at everything. I thought you were going to say that some people were used to not having people roaming the halls of the courthouse and they wanted to keep that in place, but that's not really plausible or practical.
I've heard a couple of people say just that.
Really?
That at first it was hard getting used to. Then once they got used to it, they kind of liked it.
It's interesting you say all that because even here at the radio station, you know, the last couple of months, most of the time we've interviewed people over the phone. We've had some people in our studios for interviews, and our office staff has not been here until this week for the most part. You know, I think that there's probably got to be long-term thinking in terms of how you use your facilities to prevent the spread of coronavirus or any other virus. But on the other hand, there have got to be times when you're not going to be able to prevent people from showing up at the courthouse, right?
And I guess my concern, along with many others, you know, they've been predicting, number one, that the coronavirus will not be gone until probably mid-November. Secondly, they're predicting a rather large increase, spike. That concerns me. So with that in mind, looking down the road, we're probably going to have to maintain some type of restrictions to the courthouse until the all clear sign is given.
In terms of the law enforcement aspect of that, and I'm almost out of time, but I know that the Sheriff's Association has not been a big fan of some of what the governor has done here. How has it been trying to, I guess, balance maybe enforcing certain parts of what's been going on here versus keeping the public safe versus maybe law enforcement should have more of an opinion here than what's been given, you know, that sort of thing?
I think law enforcement deserves to have an opinion,
mm-hmm.
and to be able to speak that freely to the politicians. And to affect all sheriffs in Illinois, we took an oath to support the U.S. Constitution, Illinois Constitution. The argument from a lot of the sheriffs is that what the governor has been doing is unconstitutional. Whether I agree or disagree, my response to a lot of people have been, I'm here for public safety.
Mm-hmm.
And if that means a lockdown, stay-at-home order, it's public safety.
Mm-hmm. it's probably hard to get that message out and have some of the public get it, though, right?
Right, right. but to sit here and say, let's open up Knox County in violation of what the executive orders are, I think we're creating our own problem.
It's a double-edged sword.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, fortunately, it sounds like things are going almost according to the governor's plan, at least in terms of reopening. So I guess, you know, that's a good thing. But I imagine in some respects, people want to either want to hurry that process along in some areas and maybe slow it the heck down in others, right?
Yeah. We've got, 2.5-3 weeks left to jump to phase four?
Uh-huh.
And I can only hope that we get to phase four.
Yeah.
And I think then there's going to be some additional openings. Getting stir crazy, everybody. And as I've said to a couple of guys I work with, I hadn't been outside the city of Galesburg for about a month and a half.
Yeah.
So I was called to...
You almost wanted to put yourself on patrol somewhere else in the county,
right.
Didn't you?
I had to go up to the Quad Cities to sign some paperwork. Driving down the interstate, well, my goodness, there's construction there.
Yeah.
And it was stuff that typically you would know every week, but it'd been a month and a half.
That said, I can't imagine you were too heartbroken about not having to make trips to Springfield or something like that.
And we're doing, again, to Springfield, we've been doing conference calls every other day.
Oh, gosh.
And those calls last an hour and a half. And conference calls with Knox County Board. I mean, as far as the board meetings, the committee meetings. And actually, it's worked out. In my opinion, it's worked out well.
Mm-hmm. It has, but yeah, some of those conference calls and meetings and stuff, man, I am so impatient. If it can't be done in the time it takes to watch a sitcom, then maybe I just don't want to do it.
And I agree. And the other thing is, invariably, I'm going to speak, you're going to speak, three of us are going to talk at the same time and nobody can understand anything that was said.
Exactly. Although I heard somebody say that, like, at the end of some video conference calls, people are apt to wave at each other as they leave, but you wouldn't do that at an actual meeting.
No.
just one of those things. This is the sort of thing I think about when I have way too much time on my hands, but I think that too much time has been taken up here, so I think we'll wrap up at this point. Knox County Sheriff David Clegg, thanks so much for your perspective on both of these issues, and I know you're trying to do the right thing for our communities across Knox County, and we greatly appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Will.
I've taken up way too much time, which means I'm pretty much out of time for Galesburg's Evening News. Thanks for joining me tonight. We'll be back tomorrow night at 5. Thanks for listening. Stay well and be kind to one another.